So as I mentioned at the beginning, this is the celebration of the Feast of the Ascension. And although I think it has a very unique and good message for us today, it was bad news to the people when it first occurred. Look at those three words, celebration of the Feast of the Ascension. The disciples were not celebrating. They didn't feel like having a feast, and they certainly didn't like the idea of ascension, meaning that Jesus was going to leave them once again. He ascended into heaven. That means they're watching him leave. They'd already seen him leave once before when they saw him die on the cross and be buried, and very grateful to see him again after the resurrection, and now he's leaving again? This is not a happy day for them. But you know, this idea of people leaving is hard on anyone. You know, if you can think back to the time when a neighbor left or kids went off to college or someone that you really cared for left town, it's hard. If somebody, especially if it's somebody that you were close to and that person leaves, that really is difficult for anyone to imagine. So you can imagine the disciples here were really having a hard time with that. One lesson that this tells us anyway is that we should never take people for granted. You never know when your friend may get transferred, or this person may move, or this person may leave. So we never want to take anyone's relationship for granted. If we treasure them, we want to make sure that we show that we treasure them. Well, the good news is that shortly after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came, inspired the disciples, everything is happy now, and two things happen. They are so inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to celebrate that next Sunday, that they leave Jerusalem and go out into the whole world, like Jesus says in today's gospel, go into the whole world and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. They go out into the world to convert people, and they find amazing success. It really is something that's being studied now by historians. It's just, how is it they were so successful? But they were extraordinarily successful in converting this world. That was one thing that happened. The second thing that happened is interesting. All these people out in the world that they converted immediately had the desire to come to Jerusalem, to see the places where this person Jesus walked. There was this desire for pilgrimage, to journey from wherever they live, France, Italy, Germany, to come to the Holy Land and see the places where Jesus of Nazareth walked. Historians, archaeologists believe now that a lot of the Greeks and the Romans, they probably didn't actually believe that the Roman gods actually existed, you know, Jupiter and Zeus, but they were profoundly impressed that Jesus Christ was an actual human being. And they wanted to travel all those thousands of miles to see the actual places where Jesus walked, where he ate, where he's, you know, traveled with his disciples. They wanted to see those actual places. There was a desire to connect with something real. I think that's also a very profound sense that we have. We don't like things that are artificial or fake or not real. They wanted to connect in a very tangible way with the real person of Jesus. And so in that light, for the last 12 years, every year I lead a group of people to the Holy Land on an archaeological pilgrimage. And I'll be leaving in a couple of weeks on June 6th. So between now and then, don't take me for granted either. So, but I'm looking forward to that. This is my 12th year doing it. This year we have over almost 90 people coming. It's an archaeological tour, so every place that we go, we hear a talk about what is the actual archaeological evidence that this event was real and that actually happened here. And it's quite moving when you hear that evidence and you can connect like people have for thousands of years to do that. I do that every single year, no matter what's going on over there. So if you're interested, sometime in the future, we always go around this time. But I always get this same question. People will say, you're going on this trip. Is it safe to go? Is it safe? And I always tell them, there is one place that we never go. We never go. and that's the South Bronx of New York. Never go there. Off the trip. It just shows that really every place in the world has its safe and unsafe places. And you just have to be smart about where you go. And we really only go to the Christian sites. So it's, but you know, this also is something that Jesus addresses in this gospel. Remember, he's telling them to go into the whole world. And there's dangerous places out there. And here's Jesus saying, go there. And what he says in this gospel is interesting. He's, you know, because Jesus never promised safety. He said, I will be with you wherever you go. And if you think about it, nobody can promise safety. Parents cannot promise that to children. The government cannot promise that to citizens. You can't promise something you cannot deliver. So Jesus never promises safety. He says, I will be with you. And if you think about it, that actually is what we find reassuring, not when people leave, but when they are with us and that we have that companionship. You know, I was honored to celebrate a wedding here yesterday. It's one of my favorite things to do. And these are the wedding vows. You know, I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad. You know, the wedding vows are not, I promise to be true to you as long as things are safe, or as long as you are healthy or rich. But it's in good times and in bad. And we are touched by that kind of a promise. And when I stand at a wedding, I can see the entire congregation, and I can see their faces during those vows. People are very moved when they hear those vows that say, I will be with you in good times and in bad. And that's really the only assurance that people have at their wedding, and it's the same assurance that Jesus gives at the end of this gospel. Go into the whole world and know that you will never be alone, that I will always be with you. And you can see that in Jerusalem, or you can see that every Sunday here at St. Bruno's, because you're going to hear our Lord say the same words at Mass. This is my body and my blood, and it is given for you. So you don't have to travel far to receive this assurance. Jesus will say that on the altar today, and in a very tangible way that you can connect with, he will place himself right in your hands in communion so that you will always know that our Lord is always with you. And that is definitely a feast worth celebrating.